the show that puts the improv in home improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hey, that's me, folks. Thanks for tuning into the show here. It's Sunday, and the Bears are playing, but they're not playing here. Is the score still 9-3? Who cares? Mike's like, I don't care. He's like, don't talk about football. Let's talk about New Year's resolutions, stuff like that. Hey, we're still taking your text about things you'd like to see go away. Three top things you'd like to see go away in 2015. Like, the top one on the list is the Kardashians. That's definitely universally, it seems like, the one. Let's see. Yeah, any more here? Text? Nope. All right. Well, so we'll read your texts when they come in. As they come in, I'll stop the breaking, like breaking news. We'll just break through your text. Okay. Right now, one of the biggest resolutions that are broken over every new year is weight loss. Why people can't continue this resolution? Why even make the resolution if you're not going to do it? Well, joining me on the phone is author David Zalberg. He has the book Five Skinny Habits. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Where are you calling in from, Dave?
From New York.
New York. And where are you from with that accent?
South Africa originally.
I love it. We get a lot of South African authors for some reason on our show. I like it. I'm a fan of South African folks.
Great.
I actually dated a really nice gal from South Africa. True story.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. I know. It was a long time ago. I'm married with kids now. Tell me about Five Skinny Habits. What made you write this book?
Well, I myself actually, in my mid-20s, started, putting on weight. And, before I turned around, I was already, close to 30 pounds overweight. And obviously the symptoms, started piling up, and I realized that I had to do something about it. So I started, researching, the different diets out there and, the different solutions that were there. And I was amazed to see that there were, so many different conflicting opinions, Some saying you should have a lot of protein, some a lot of carbohydrates, some detox diets. And, at the time I was, in school, and I spoke to one of my professors, and he told me, why don't you go back, quite a few thousands of years ago and go back to the original sources and start to see if there's a comparison or if you can learn from their writings and see whether they're up to date with, current dietary and fitness guidelines. And so I began a process of, researching a program over many years, over about 10 years, which I felt, you could implement in a practical way and actually see results in the long term.
But really, Dave, if you think about that, and I think it's amazingly interesting that you would go back that far to compare notes of, Hippocrates to make it relevant to today's diet habits, because I would imagine back then, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it really a grain-based or was it really paleo-based?
Well, what's very interesting is that, you'll see a lot of different, conflicting, writings about what was said, all those thousands of years ago. So, I went back to the actual original text, and it's pretty amazing to see that, a lot of the suggestions, that you find today, like, for instance, whole grain, lean protein, vegetables and fruits, were written about all that time ago. And, it's interesting to see that it's really about a well-balanced diet. Obviously there are many different details, which one can go into. But with regard to actual nutritional suggestions and choices, really you see a lot of, a well-balanced diet, which included all the food groups.
But isn't it – so science then versus science now. If we really take that, for face value, wouldn't you logically say, well, we know so much more about what food does to us? Like, for instance, the book, Grain Brain. I'm reading that book right now, and it's deep. It really connects what grain does to your brain in terms of things like Alzheimer's and obesity and all this stuff. How did they address – I mean, I guess they didn't address that. They didn't even know the connections of food back then, did they?
Well, that's a very good question. I think, one has to differentiate between, medicine and nutrition. When it comes to medicine, there's no question that we've made tremendous strides in science. But when it comes to nutrition, the body is always the body. And to an extent, I think, in many cases, a lot of different, professionals have really gone away from what the actual body needs. You know, like today, you know, with organic and gluten-free, and, you know, a sense of, you know, many different programs and just a literature which, you know, explains how so much of the food today is processed and, you know, so much of, you know, because of different, techniques which we have in order to preserve food, we've really gone away from what our body actually needs.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to nutrition, you know, that's why you see a lot of the diets out there which are going back to the original writings, because, you know, there was a deep understanding of what the body actually needs, trying to go back to, you know, pure unadulterated food. And, you know, I think that a lot of them have taken it out of context, you know, and cutting out food groups and, you know, starting to, talk about unrealistic expectations when it comes to food choices. But, you know, the concept is if you can go back to a time of where, you know, we were just interested in eating something which was, you know, healthy for our bodies, you're able to cut out a lot of the processed and a lot of the unhealthy food that we have today. And, I mean, what was really fascinating for me, you know, going back to, you know, the original writings, is the discussion on habit formation and how much of our food, you know, our food daily choices are really based upon, you know, habits and the psychology of the mind more than just, you know, a list of foods, you know, what's allowed and what's not allowed.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, your positioning is really interesting, especially in today's world where there is so much information and so many different diets and lifestyle programs being thrown at us, you know, and this is the time of year, you know, right before the new year, where everyone tends to make these resolutions to get healthy and to lose weight. And your approach with your book, you know, Five Skinny Habits, is kind of a neutral, healthy eating approach, right?
Absolutely. You see, you know, what it is that, you know, one of the important differences here in this program is that most diets, you know, really don't pay attention to habit at all. You know, the psychological aspects are usually ignored. You know, it's really more just about a permitted list of foods and a forbidden list of foods. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, I mean, just even for 2-3 minutes, I mean, eating is something we do almost all the time during the whole day. You know, so it's something which is very tied into habit. You know, when you think about alcohol, when you think about, you know, smoking, when you think of other types of habits which, you know, are bad habits, you know, the mind automatically thinks, well, that's a bad habit now. How am I going to break it? What do I do in order to break it?
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to food, in many ways, food is actually a more powerful habit than all of those habits because it's something we do the whole time.
Right.
So, you know, what's really unique here is, you know, a system of understanding why our mind chooses particular foods. Why is it so hard to break an eating habit? How do we start a new eating habit? And, you know, through the research that over time, you know, I was able to notice, you know, a trend, you know, starting from Hippocrates, going to Galen, Maimonides, and even Benjamin Franklin, which was really fascinating,
yeah.
You know, which is that in order to break a habit, one really has to make small steps at the right pace.
Gotcha.
And the key is to make those changes, you know, at the right pace, consistently, and with persistence.
Well, and we have to take a quick break here, Dave, and we're going to have more with you right after news, and we're going to get into what are these habits of skinny people, or not skinny people, but five skinny habits that you could do to implement in the new year. But real quick, before we do break for news, I just want to read a text that just came in, which is kind of applies to what we're talking about here. I've asked people at the top of the show to text in their top three things they'd like to see go away in 2015. And a texter that just came in at 630 says, my three things are people who name their kids stupid names. I agree with that. People who feel like they are better than others. I agree with that. People who feel that their way of life is or his way of life or hers is wrong. And then they go on to say, please tell me why folks are compelled to tell me that my life is so wrong. What if I drink a case of beer and a fifth of Jack each night and weigh 300 pounds? What is it to you? Interesting, isn't it? As we sit here and talk about this, this topic of getting healthy in the new year. So we'll leave that in your thoughts as we go to this break. And when we come back, we'll address that text and finish our discussion on Five Skinny Habits with author David Zolberg. It's almost New Year's, folks. Thanks for hanging out with us. We have our big New Year's show going on, all about how to keep those resolutions we'll break the top 10 that has been broken. We read at the top of the show. Number one on that list is people's health, diets, and fitness. So that's what we're dedicating a lot of the show to. How you doing out there, folks? Everyone staying warm. It's a beautiful day on Michigan Ave. Spending your money. Thanks for supporting the local economy. We appreciate that. All right, so joining us on the phone is author David Zolberg. He's an award-winning author, bestseller, Life Transforming Diet, as well as the new book, Five Skinny Habits. And Dave, before we left, I want to get to the real quick, the Five Skinny Habits. I read a text from a listener. I don't know if you had any thoughts on it, about him being compelled to, you know, that people are compelled to tell him or her that his life is wrong because so what if he drinks a case of beer and a fifth of Jack each night and weighs 300 pounds? What is it to you? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I'm not sure whether there's, you know, right and wrong. You know, I just think that it is, you know, there's so many statistics out there, you know, that obesity is, you know, really unhealthy for you. And there's many side effects, you know, from a health perspective. You know, from an energy perspective, you just have a lot more energy, you know, when you're fit and you're in shape. And, you know, obviously, you know, every person has their own perspective and their own wants and desires. But, you know, in general, you know, if one can be healthy and use one's body and mind to their optimal, you know, that's really what we, you know, gear for and try to achieve.
I agree. And I just have to read real quick before we get into this. One of our loyal listeners, Margaret from Bridgeport, just texts in, "Hi, Frank. To the man who said, or woman, what's it to you if he overate, overdrank, or smoked? It matters to all of us," she says, "in the form of paying for higher health costs, family anguish, and hospital costs. Also, don't go crying to the hospital because you're having a heart attack if they can't fit you on a bed. And I do work in healthcare field, so I see it all the time. P.S. Love your show." And we love you, Margaret. Well said. I think that's pretty brilliant because it does affect everybody. It comes down to dollars and cents because as a society here in America, we pay collectively for people with poor health. So with that said, how do we get healthier, Dave?
Well, you know, I think the key, you know, as we were talking about before, is instead of making a New Year's resolution, you know, which is an extreme one, you know, I need to lose 10 pounds in the next 3 days, or, you know, 20 pounds in the next week or two. I think the key really is to, you know, decide and take upon oneself to make real changes that will be for the long term. You know, because you make these extreme changes, and sure, it's possible to lose weight very quickly, but the key is, can you maintain the weight after you lose it?
Isn't that what it's always all about? You know, because I read a study, and correct me if I'm wrong here, because you probably know a lot more about this than me, that the body doesn't actually care how you lose the weight. Like, there is no scientific, oh, I lost it doing this, I lost it doing that. Well, once you get down to, let's just say, you know, you're 200, you got down to 180. Your body doesn't really care if you used Fen-Phen, if you extreme dieted or not, or you lose the pound a day. It's from what you do at that point at 180 that matters, right?
Well, I think, you know, the dietary guidelines and, you know, general nutrition today, nutritional science believes that one shouldn't lose too much weight too quickly because it can have certain, you know, side effects on the body. So, you know, generally, you know, there's a set amount of between 1 to 2 pounds a week. You know, and there, you know, once again, there can be certain side effects as a result of losing weight too quickly. But most importantly, you know, at the end of the day, if one loses weight too quickly with extreme measures, it's just a matter of time before one goes back to one's old eating habits, you know.
But isn't that the case for any program, though, Dave? Like, honestly, like if we, whether it's, you know, fast or slow, once you get down to that desired weight, all comes down to choices from that point forward, isn't it?
Well, I think with regard to eating, it really makes more of a difference because, you know, eating is something we do the whole time and, you know, so sometimes also the way that the psychology of the mind works is that if we push too hard, too quickly, what happens is that, you know, when we lose that 20, 30 pounds, as you mentioned, it's very easy to spring it all back on because the body's looking for relief. Right. You know, the mind wants a break. The mind wants to go back to the original habit. So, you know, without a doubt, if one can lose weight at a normal pace and condition the mind and the body, you know, one not only will lose weight in a way that won't spring back so quickly, but one will also be able to maintain it for the long term.
Interesting, because, I mean, the study I read was out of a medical journal, and it kind of just alluded to the fact that, in actuality, the body doesn't really know. Like the idea that the hypothalamus will be reset and all these things would happen is kind of a farce. And maybe it's just, I mean, it's a medical study, so I'm not saying that it's 100% right, because there's a lot of different studies, but I just thought that was an interesting fact. Moving forward, how else can people in the new year not break these resolutions and really maintain their skinny habits?
Well, I think the key is really to make one habit change a week. You know, so you're able to concentrate on that particular habit during the week. And when the second week comes along, you make a second habit change, continue with the first habit. So when the third week comes along, you're continuing with habit one and two from week one and two, but you're, you know, implementing a new habit. You know, that way the mind is able to concentrate on the new habit without making extreme changes. So, you know, what I suggest is that during week one, you make a change to your breakfast. And I like to call it the light meal. So, you know, what you'll do is you'll have a choice between, you know, a fruit meal, or you can have, you know, eggs and toast, cereal. As long as it stays under 250 calories, you want to keep it a small, light meal.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that'll be your first change during week one. And, you know, for people who prefer to have a bigger breakfast, I also outline in the book, you know, how you can have that bigger breakfast and implement this lighter meal for lunch, let's say with a salad, or at dinner, you know, with a lighter meal. But for most people, I found, and, you know, research has shown that sometimes starting off the, you know, the day with a light meal, something which, you know, doesn't put too much, you know, emphasis on the digestion, digestive system, really helps you to get the day started on a good note.
Okay. And then, is that number three in terms of the five healthy habits?
No, so that's number one. So habit one, week one, is just implement one light meal a day.
Okay.
To your program.
The reason
you're
I
not
asked,
make
Dave,
any other changes. That's it.
Okay, so that's the big change. And then real quick, because we're running out of time, unfortunately, I could have you on for the whole show, and maybe next time we'll definitely book you longer. What if you could just kind of bullet point the next few tips, and then we got to go to a break.
Yeah, sure. So in week two, what you're going to do is you're going to change your biggest meal of the day, and for most people, that's, you know, dinner. And what you're going to do is you're going to have a protein and a vegetable side dish. So you could have, you know, chicken, you could have fish, and you could have sautéed vegetables as a side. You know, the nice thing for the New Year is that you can have a glass of wine as well with that meal, and that's going to help weight loss. It's going to have many health advantages as well,
which
I found in the book. In week three, you're going to make a change to your lunch, and you're going to have a protein and a grain. So you could have a tuna wrap, you can have a sandwich, you could have, you know, any protein together with any type of starch side dish that you like, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. There's so many different choices.
Right.
The only change you're going to make for that particular meal is that you're going to have seconds of vegetables, you know, which is something that, you know, we're so prone to overeating, but often we walk away from the meal feeling so stuffed and so heavy. You know, most times you just don't want those, you know, second helpings, you know, even though your eyes want it, your body doesn't want it. So have your regular meal, protein and grains, but take seconds of vegetables. So that's week three. And then in week four, what we're going to do is we're going to start with exercise. And exercise is also, once again, back to that fad diet mentality where, you know, people just want to take on as much as they can, as quickly as they can. But, you know, fitness research has shown, and, you know, from many different perspectives, that the best way to really start is just to do 10 minutes of exercise, preferably cardio in the beginning, three times a week. So that's going to be week four. Just take a walk around your block, wherever it is, just 10 minutes, three times a week.
Gotcha. And finally, number five.
Yeah, finally in week five, we're going to deal with snacking between meals, which is obviously a challenge for, you know, for most of us and all of us. And you know, we encourage different foods which are healthy substitutions for what one snacks on unhealthy foods. So you could have low-fat yogurt, you could have low-fat cheese, fruits and vegetables are encouraged. And it's very important, once again, to drink water, to have liquids, because often we confuse hunger with thirst. And no matter how much you eat, if your body's thirsty, you're not going to quench that thirst. So we encourage you to drink between meals. Once you're over the 5 weeks and you've implemented the five habits, we start to, you know, introduce smart exceptions, which allow you to have any type of snacks within certain guidelines.
Awesome. And listen, I don't want to give any more away, Dave. Let's let people get the book. The book is The Five Skinny Habits. Where can people find it?
You can find it on Amazon, or you can see it on my website at fiveskinnyhabits.com. And I also encourage you to look at our Facebook page. You know, we post a positive affirmation every day, you know, whether it's ancient text, whether it's modern up-to-date text, you know, funny motivational comments, ancient comments. You know, check that out at Fast Skinny Habits on Facebook.
David Zolberg, thank you so much for joining us. A wealth of information. And the biggest part I'm intrigued about your book is the fact that its research goes back to the days of Hippocrates and the early masters, which is really fascinating. So I'm going to definitely take this book and give it a good read. Dave, have yourself a good new year.
I appreciate it, and happy new year to everyone.
Thanks, pal. All right, we got to take a break, and we'll have more after that.